I don't mean to make light of serious things, but a lot of the troubles of history could have been eliminated had there been cell phones earlier. It's true. I mean, think about it. Joseph, who was lost to his father for decades, could have texted, "In Egypt, all well." I could go through the Bible and just tell you all the things that people could have been spared if they'd been able to communicate over distances the way we are now. Jacob and Esau, coming to get you. Watch out. Or even Moses. But unfortunately for them, and unfortunately for us, they didn't have cell phones and we do. No, not unfortunately for us. By and large, I think these communications are a great blessing. But it would make it much harder, by the way, to write the kind of dramatic stories today that you did in the past. So many classic movies and other things would suffer, like same time next year, if you could just text, "Delayed, we'll be there soon." But this morning, in the Torah portion, there is exactly that question, which is, granted that he couldn't do it so easily, why doesn't Joseph ever get in touch with his father for all the years that he's in Egypt, especially when he is successful and second only to Pharaoh and could easily dispatch a messenger to Canaan? And there are lots of reasons that I could offer, and I have other theories, but this morning I want to concentrate on what Joseph himself says. Joseph has two sons. The older is Manasseh, and the younger is Ephraim. Remember, they get reversed when Jacob blesses them, and that's why we say Ephraim and Manasseh, but Ephraim is the younger one. The firstborn son, Manasseh, we're told in the Bible that the meaning that Joseph gives to that name is Manasseh means God has made me forget my troubles and the house of my father. In other words, he's forgotten about where he came from. And the second, Ephraim, is God has made me prosper in this land of my affliction. Where I suffered in Egypt, now I'm prospering. I remember years ago, my colleague, Rabbi Jeffrey Salkin, said basically Joseph named his kids Amnesia and Assimilation. And you can understand why. His family threw him into slavery. As far as he knows, they never came to look for him. He gets to Egypt and he goes into a dungeon. And so when he rises to a new position and he's doing well in his new land, he wants to forget where he came from and celebrate his success. It sounds like Joseph is us. It's very easy for Jews to forget all the tragedies and difficulties of their history, because who wants to dwell on that? Let me tell you what used to be a major Jewish holiday that now is almost, I won't say never observed, but very little observed in our communities, Tisha B'Av. It used to be that everyone fasted on Tisha B'Av and everyone came to synagogue to hear the reading of Echa, of Lamentations, but it happened a long time ago. Why should we mourn for the destruction of the temple? We're doing fine. In other words, we're Joseph. We forget Beit Avi, and we celebrate our success. And it's a very human thing. It's not because we're bad people, or because we're people who don't care, or people who don't want the best for Jews and Jews, but it's a natural thing to think that the tragedies of the past should stay in the past and the success of the present should be celebrated. And that's why the Joseph story is so interesting and important, because what happens to him is all of a sudden his past comes to him. It shows up in the form of his brothers. And he realizes suddenly, remember what Joseph does when he sees his brothers? He goes into the next room so they can't see him, and he weeps. Because all of a sudden he realizes that who he is much deeper than who he has become. That the core of him is Beit Avi, the house of his, not just of his father, but the house of his tradition, the house of his fathers and mothers, the house of Abraham and Sarah, and Isaac and Rebekah. That's what he suddenly realizes. And for us, for all of us, every now and then, even when we forget where we came from and are luxuriating in the success that we have, every now and then the world brings our past to our door and says, remember, this is who you are. And as much as you may try to forget it, at the bottom of your soul, this is you. I don't know how many of you remember the name Bernard Berenson. Bernard Berenson was maybe the greatest art critic of the 20th century. He was born Jewish in a traditional home. He left early. He lived most of his life in Italy as a sophisticated gentleman, had no ties whatsoever with the Jewish community. And he evaluated art, and in fact, he was the most important voice, especially in Italian art and Renaissance paintings. If Berenson said your painting was good, it was good. He was celebrated all over the world as this sophisticated and this intellectual. And Isaiah Berlin, who taught at Oxford, went to visit Berenson at the end of his life. And he came back and he said, you won't believe it. All he wanted to do was tell old Yiddish jokes, which is completely at variance with your picture of a sophisticated art critic. But the point is, at the end of his life, he returned to the beginning of his life. He remembered where he came from, and he yearned for it. I think that that's what happens to Joseph. Joseph all of a sudden remembers the beginning of his life, growing up in his parents' home, before all the bad things happened, who he was. Just as we as a people remember our origins before all the trials of our history. And what is Joseph's last command? He says, when you leave this place, bring me back to Eretz Israel. Make sure that I am buried in Israel. And you remember who does that? While all of Israel is going around collecting things so that they can go out into the desert, Moses goes and he finds the casket of Joseph and makes sure that it is carried through the desert. And the rabbis tell us that Joseph's coffin and the luchot, the tablets, were next to each other. And when they would ask, why are those two boxes traveling next to each other in the desert, the Israelites would answer, because the person who lies in this fulfilled the commands that lie in that. And the greatest command that Joseph fulfilled was that of remembrance and forgiveness. He forgave his brothers because he chose to see, just as our bat mitzvah taught us this morning, he chose to see his life as a blessing. He chose to take all the difficulties and trials of his life and see what happened to him once he was in front of his brothers as part of God's plan. For all of us, that story of Joseph is our story. And the reason that Joseph alone, by the way, among the forefathers, is called Yosef HaTzadik, Joseph the Righteous, is because even though he had every reason in the world to forget where he came from, in the end, he affirmed who he was, where he came from, and where the Israelites should go, back to the land of Israel. He was the successful diaspora Jew. He was the one who went to a foreign land and succeeded, and yet, even though he started off wanting to assimilate, in the end, he didn't. And maybe that's one of the reasons why when you bless a son on Friday night, you say he should be like Ephraim and Manasseh. In other words, he should have all the success and should understand why it is you would want to disappear, but Ephraim and Manasseh became two of the tribes of Israel, so they didn't. They didn't meld into Egypt. They became part of our history and our heritage. We, as the most fortunate Jewish community that ever lived, the most blessed, we should learn from Joseph that ultimately our blessings can't obscure our blessing. That our affluence, our good fortune, our freedom should be enjoyed as Jews. And Beit Avi, the house of our father, should always be the guiding path through the blessed land in which we live, so that, like Joseph, people will be able to say that the people who were here observed what was written in there. In the end, of course, in the end, it is Jacob, Yaakov, Israel, who blesses Joseph's children, bridging the generations. To be blessed by Israel meant that they were brought into the covenant that Jacob had established for all generations and for all time. So, all of us who were brought into that covenant, we too have an obligation to make sure that our children and our children's children don't lose their meaning in their good fortune. Let's remember Joseph, how he lived, and his legacy after his death, and try to live the same way so that in future generations that blessing will endure. Shabbat Shalom.